Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 187.
187.
In the motherfucking house.
This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett. Yeah.
It was almost good.
It was almost good to the last part of it. I could
that
feel
was
it.
The best
time.
One
we
got
to try and just start giving them candy before every show now.
Yeah.
That's red.
We're calming down. Fucking... Some sugar.
Sugar. So Halloween's done. October's done.
Yeah.
I am less sad.
Yeah. But what are you going to do?
You know.
Now you can buy all the candy at clearance.
Every year, I get a little bit more bummed out after October's done because I know the inevitable rush of Christmas is like about to fuck us over.
Yeah.
And Christmas makes me sad.
Dude, let me let you in on a secret. Fuck Christmas.
I can't fuck Christmas. I got
sure
children.
You can. Tell them that Santa's not real and that Jesus hates them.
Santa's
and that,
dead.
Yeah, and that he crashed his sleigh. Show them Santa's sleigh. He went back to hell. There you go.
Just so I'm not assuming things, can you explain to me and the audience why Christmas makes you sad?
I think, well, so Matt and I have talked about this before. So I think Halloween is such a, it's a holiday of like experiencing things and like, you know, and kind of the creepy stuff.
It's a horror movie.
It's the horror of holidays.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I love it.
And yeah. I think Christmas is just so fucking materialistic and you have to worry about buying stuff for people and.
Well, sure, yeah.
It just bums me out a little bit.
Or you don't.
Well, it's true.
That's what we do.
Like, yeah, that's what I do.
I was all huge on Christmas for the longest time, and Ollie is just like, why? Like,
I really
why buy anything?
Care about Christmas for the kids because
right.
It's still
of
magical
course.
For them. But,
I mean, like, I was the same way, and now Morgan's 13, so I'm like, hey,
your
well, guess what?
13.
Yeah. Fuck. Dude, she turned 13, and she became such a little shit.
That's what
like,
happens.
We knew it was going to happen. I told my mom, too, the day she turns 13, she's going to become a little fucker. You watch. And she did.
With each passing year. No. No, I just get more like, it's not just that, like, because I've never been that much in the holidays, you know, but like the change of the seasons, which you don't feel much here in San Diego.
Yeah. You don't feel at all.
Right. But nonetheless, there's that whole, like, I always contemplate, like, in winter, this is when shit, I mean, you know, dies. So for a long, long time, this is when if you didn't have all your shit in order, like, everything's gonna, you know, you're not gonna survive, you know? So I think they're like, oh, let's like make ourselves feel better by having all these celebrations. You know what I mean? Like, let's celebrate this because it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad, you know? And then there's just like they start with the candy, then they go to the fucking turkey, and then like there's the present thing. And then before you know it, like there's a few days and then it's a new fucking year. It's like people are trying to
and
just
then the
like
new year starts and everyone hates themselves because of how much weight they gained over the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And they vow to go to the gym and then they go for like 2 months and then they injure themselves and then they don't go and then they put on a bunch of weight and they hate themselves even more and then they
is
eat even
a,
more
is
around
this
the
an
holiday.
Autobiography?
Yeah. It's
no,
vicious, man.
Just, it's a cycle.
Oh, okay.
It is. He's right.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And then you get into suicide season.
Yeah, see, I didn't want to go.
You don't want to go there.
We had a good suicide talk a couple weeks
we
ago.
We did, yeah.
But he's right though. Yeah.
I just think that the downturn into the end of the year is always kind of a bummer for me. Honestly though,
it's like people are keeping themselves as busy as possible, and then it's like, oh fuck, it's a new year, and there's nothing till St. Patrick's
changes.
Day.
Yeah.
Valentine's that's, Day, St. Patrick's
that's
Day.
That's why it's so awesome living in San Diego, because you don't realize it. It might as well be fucking June.
Yep. You need a glass of my dude?
I'm just going to drink it out of this purple Paw Patrol cup.
The purple Paw Patrol cup? I like it. I like your style.
Oh, it does say Paw Patrol. That O looks like an S because it's got a little paw in it.
S get it.
Oh, I just got it. I just get what you're saying.
There's a booze, dude.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Look at it. And there it is. See, when I do that, there's two, and there it is. Everyone knows the Jeff Goldblum one, but there's also the one from Amadeus.
Ah, yes. That's the one.
But Goldblum took that over.
I'm not familiar with either one.
What?
There it is.
I'm not familiar with either one.
And there it is. You've seen Jurassic Park.
Yeah, not in forever though.
Well, there it is.
Well,
I remember Jeff Goldblum from Earth Girls Crazy.
Progress. Great in that. I call the rape of the natural world. And there it is.
There you go. So have you seen anything?
I've seen lots of things.
What did you see?
So I watched Phantasm again last night.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that movie is fucking bananas, dude. Have you seen it recently?
No.
It's been 15 years. I want to rewatch it.
Holy, it makes no fucking sense. Like, yeah. It is just a jumbled mess of chaos, but it is so goddamn fun. And now that I've seen it again, I can't stop saying, boy. I'm just going to be saying that all. Boy, you play a good game, boy.
The tall man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angus Scrimm. That's just a fucking cool name.
That is a cool name. Scrimm. Angus Scrimm.
I should revisit those.
Scrimps. Watched that. I watched Hocus Pocus for the first time.
Ooh.
The first time?
Yep.
No.
It came out like right around Death Becomes Her, and I kept getting them confused.
Death Becomes Her is a good
play. Yeah.
I found that one on DVD. Physical media copy of Death Becomes Her.
Jeez.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Yeah. I like that movie quite a bit.
Hocus Pocus is it's pretty fucking dark for a Disney movie.
It's They're Sarah like eating Jessica children. Parker at her hottest.
She's not in that, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. She's the hot one?
She's the hot one.
What?
Okay.
I don't know what to make of my brain right now.
Yeah, also Flight of the Navigator. She's also the hot.
I've never seen that.
It's true. So. She plays soccer in it? Or no?
She's am like I getting the nurse.
Confused with Karate Kid soccer scenes?
Sorry. Karate Kid soccer? Is that like.
Yeah, there's Elizabeth Shue playing Karate Kid in part two.
But Flight of the Navigator.
Wait, no.
Like
in part two, he goes to Okinawa.
Yeah.
And he gets that fine ass Japanese chick.
Part one is Elizabeth Shue playing soccer.
Yeah. Part three is.
It's not
that's
good.
That's the girl, right?
Part three is that dude. That dude. He gets with a dude. No. Part three is they have that other guy train him. You know? Yeah.
No, the next Karate Kid is the,
oh, right, Swank. Right. So yeah.
Swank.
Three was that cool guy, right?
Yeah.
And he turned out to be a dick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they snapped his bonsai tree off the side of the cliff, right?
It's the Rocky V of the Karate Kid series.
It's Rocky.
Rocky Karate 5 Kid of Karate Rocky Kid 3.
Five. Okay, got
you
it.
Yep. Rocky movies I've seen.
That's not good. People listening, so he refuses to watch the first Die Hard.
Or any Die Hard.
Any Die Hard.
And you haven't seen, we were talking about this right before, you haven't seen Temple of Doom, you don't think?
No. I saw the first Indiana Jones, that's it.
Yeah.
And there it is. All right, what else?
We've been watching Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, Hill House.
It's so fucking good.
You came back?
Well, yeah, we're at episode 6. Like, we just watched 6. Almost that whole episode is like a tracking shot when they're in the house.
What episode I'm on. It was amazing.
Looking for ghosts in the background it's my new obsession.
Yeah.
And like, I can't fucking find them most of Alia found the first one on accident. And then we're like, oh, let's look. And it's like, wow, there's like 8 in every episode. And I've seen a couple, and that's it.
Always under the piano for the most part.
I keep looking under the piano and under beds and I never see him. And I'm like, I'm not even watching what's going on in the show. I'm just like looking in the background all the time, waiting.
You're like, what's going on in the show? I don't know. Ghosts.
We've been watching that. And then I watched, I forgot what else. Oh, I watched a movie. Hulu was doing that 12-month anthology thing where they do a new horror movie every month.
Okay.
And they did one called The Body. It started out as like a fun premise. It's a hitman moving a body on Halloween so he can kind of be it started out cool and then it turned into like a comedy and then it got more and more silly and it had a really predictable ending, but it was fun for most of it.
That's the one where like the body coughs blood into like the saran wrap.
That part was fucking cool. Yeah. You watch that?
No, I just saw the preview of it.
Oh. So, yeah, that's what I watched.
Right.
I watched some other stuff, but I can't remember.
Did you play anything?
I've been playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night nonstop. And I've been playing more Binding of Isaac.
That leads into what I was going to say.
I haven't watched the show yet.
So, I watched the first episode. Again, the animation is incredible.
Right.
Not much happens in the first episode. You basically get a little bit of like pre-event history in the show, but it's good so far. I'm eager to keep going.
Yeah, Alia kind of told me like, you know, maybe we should start watching separate things. Like, we have so much stuff built up. It's like, oh, if there's something you want to watch, like, just watch it. Don't wait for the other one. And I'm like, should I start watching Castlevania without you?
Because like, fuck no.
I want to watch fucking Castlevania. And she's like, no, if you want to. And I'm like, because I don't really have anything on my list other than Castlevania. Like, that's... We tried to watch Apostle today. I got like 20 minutes in. I'm like, yo, I'm going to bed. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah. Did you watch Castlevania the first?
I've not seen Castlevania or Apostle, both of which I want to watch this weekend.
Did you watch the first season though?
Oh, the first season, yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked the first season.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a little bit a few months back, I think. Yeah, I loved the animation. And, you know, I thought they did a lot with... I thought it was pretty... I liked the idea of making a Castlevania ongoing like anime-style show. But I thought it was kind of slight, like subject matter. But I thought they did a good job fleshing out the world. I thought it was some good world building in the first.
Which hopefully in this season. And I think we should probably do a whole episode on
the whole season.
I think once we all wrap it up, we can talk about the whole season.
Yeah, and it had that that righteous anti organized religion vibe.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Big time.
That's always fun.
Yeah, they go into it a little bit deeper on the very beginning of this episode, the first episode. So it's
anti-toxic religion at any rate. Yeah.
Oh, we started watching Sabrina too.
What'd you think?
I like it. It's pretty fun. It's weird seeing like Kiernan Shipker or whatever her name is.
Shipker.
Like kissing dudes, like just period. Because like. The guy she kisses, you can tell, is like in his 20s, and it's like, okay, well, she's got to be at least like 18, but I remember her as the little girl from Mad Men, so like, to see her grown up and like kissing dudes, and she's walking around like naked with side boob and stuff, it's kind of weird to see.
That's like what happened with what's her name, Hermione in Harry Potter.
Yeah. Where she's like,
What was the other one that we were like, what the fuck? Oh, Pan's Labyrinth. The girl from Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, she got all fine?
Yeah.
What that girl from that movie, that body is fine. She was in Unfriended Dark Web. I have no idea who she was in there, but in the body.
What about you, dude? You doing Morse code over there?
Help. I watched a few non-horror things. I'll do this, the non-horror stuff first. So I watched The Hate U Give. It's a drama about... have you seen the trailer?
You sure it's not a comedy drama, bro?
It's got moments of comedy.
Are you sure it's not an action?
But it's not...
So it's a comedy?
No.
It's not a drama.
he's like, you're going to get it, bitch.
It's got... Yeah. What was I saying? Oh.
You're saying that you don't want comedy in your drama, bro.
Yeah. there's some humor in it, so I guess it's a comedy. It's a romantic comedy.
No, it's not.
No, it's a drama. It's about, for people who haven't seen the trailer, about racial tensions. And the reviews were pretty damn good. So, and I got that AMC thing.
Girl that goes to like the fancy school but lives in like the hood.
And she's got a friend who gets killed by a cop and et cetera. So, you know, I have the AMC thing and I went and actually...
He's like, I don't know what else to watch.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't my... I saw, you know, for what it's trying to do, for the message it's trying to make, it does a pretty good job and it does a pretty surprising job to me of showing several sides of the argument there.
Great people on both sides.
Yeah. The performances...
Oh, Jesus. Wonderful people on both sides.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, no, that's one of my complaints about the movie. The protagonist, the girl you're talking about.
Water, bro.
She has no flaws. It's one of those perfect protagonists, which are always frustrating for me. And, you know, which is pretty fucking a little too convenient. But
little fucking cute.
For that kind of film, I preferred what came out earlier this year, which was Black Klansman and a little more.
That movie's good.
I just started watching that, actually. I didn't want to say that I watched it because I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Because
it ends really fucking abruptly.
These days I have to watch movies in shifts.
You've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Well, years since my son was
born. We've been watching movies for the show and you're like, yeah, so I had to watch like 20 minutes on my break and then I had to watch 20 minutes before bed.
I got to get in where I can.
6 minutes while I was taking a shit.
But no, that movie's really good. I just got past the first little like meeting before the lie detector meeting.
Okay, yeah.
And really, really fun, surprisingly. Yeah,
it's why when I saw it over the summer, like, it was, it's one of my, at least top 10 favorites of this year, honestly. I had a lot of fun with that movie and the cast and Adam Driver.
Adam Driver fucking.
It's fucking hilarious.
I don't know, man. Adam Driver's like,
I don't know. I haven't seen him do a bad role.
Ollie is splooshing.
Just
over.
Fucking just slicking away.
I haven't seen him
doing
a bad role.
Stirring macaroni and cheese.
Just jacking off violently to Adam Driver's face.
Wow. I also saw Mid-90s.
Ah, yeah. I have not been able to see it
yet.
That's
funny. George and I listened to Mid-90s.
Yeah.
That's right.
We always do.
Yeah, well, you're gonna like this movie.
Does it make you feel like home?
Well, the thing is, it's not. It doesn't. You know, we're all from that era, so it doesn't beat you over the head like that's all it's got is nostalgia.
They're like, hey, but, have you heard fucking Sugar Ray, bro?
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. But if you are from that era, like it's really one of the first films to cover that period of time with the proper kind of attention it needs. Because it's the last generation before the internet just went nuts for cell phones. You got this like pre-millennium, how restless people were, the skateboarding, the big fucking pants. And they've got like music in there that you're familiar with. Like they got the Far Side and they've got the Pixies and they've got some other punk rock here and some other hip hop there. But it's not stuff that you're like, you know what I mean? They didn't put on, like you said, what was the example you just had?
Sugar Ray.
Yeah, they didn't do that. But they do have Seal in a restaurant in the background.
Okay, that's all right.
Which is fucking perfect. It's got Kiss from a Rose.
How similar is it to Kids in terms of like...
Okay, yeah, that's what... okay, Kids is much harder film than this. This has actually, I mean, if I wanted to get all...
Kids is like post-apocalyptic horror. I mean, just
fucking
dystopian.
It's cinema verite. That's actually, yeah. But, yeah, this isn't nearly as hard as that film or as condemnatory. It's, I mean, you could actually make the argument this gets a little too sentimental. But, again, I think as a time capsule movie, and it's giving ample attention to a thing that hasn't gotten much attention like that. So how similar is it to Kids? You know, subject matter wise, a little bit. And some of the conversations, like the conversations, the dialogue in this movie. If you're from Southern California and you fucking grew up in the 90s, like, wow.
God.
Nailed it.
Can't wait.
Like, really nailed it. Like, I was laughing loud. Even in parts that, like, I guess they're not supposed to be funny, but
George
it's funny.
George and I do that all the time.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun for me.
And it has a good little score, too. It's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Dude, they have, like, the scores they've been working on, they've killed it. Like
every
they,
single one
I
of
mean,
them.
I mean, Social Network, I think, is my, like, my favorite of the bunch so far.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Did you hear Gone Girl's score?
Yes.
That shit was good.
That was good.
Yeah. And then what else did I watch? Oh, Halloween evening, I went to my buddy's house, and we watched Friday the 13th Part 1 and Part 2. And it's been a long time.
You were. It seemed like you were a little bit not upset, but you were like, "What the fuck?"
Also
is this?
Not impressed.
Well, look, man. I know they're. You know, they're not known for their. But the thing is, it's a strange thing that happens with that because you get kind of like blown over, especially by the last scene where Jason comes out of the water, and you've got like the reflection of the trees and the lake and all this kind of stuff. It's got its own fucking thing. It's got its like this sleazy charm to it, and the door's all red, and the freaking. And then I just, like, speaking of nostalgia, like, I just got bowled over, like, thinking about the Nintendo game. And I'm like, oh, this is Crystal Lake. Like, oh, this is Crystal Lake, bro. Like, you need to.
This is it.
You need to be okay with this.
Yeah.
No, but then.
You know who's really good at the video game?
Buckle up.
Huh? This guy's really good at that video game. He's incredibly good at it.
All I did was walk around fucking trying to find Jason, and then you find Jason and he kills you.
He knows how to kills you.
He knows how to fight Jason, dude. He's good at it.
Yeah, I never.
Next Frights and Pints, we'll put that shit up. You'll see.
Okay.
My mom like has this ringtone right now, and like I thought it was one of the like the part from when you're in the cave. And I was like, what the fuck? But then after like 5 seconds, it adds like other instrumentation, but it sounded just like that part. And I got all excited for my mom for a minute, but then she let me down again.
Oh, again.
Yeah.
I actually, I think part one is better than part two. Am I alone in that?
No.
No.
Yeah, part two is like, if it weren't for part three, that's why I own part three. Because I know that's the one with like, you know, it got really, to me, hit a stride as far as even that 80s thing of like, you know, the eyeball popping out, the hockey mask.
Well, the eyeball popping out, that was like just for the 3D.
Right.
It was like, what cool effects can we do? Let's make an eyeball pop out. Let's shoot an arrow directly into your face.
Well, they do this thing constantly with those first two movies where they have this point of view camera thing.
Yeah.
where it's like, is this Jason's point of view? But it's not. It's just like the camera.
A point of view.
A point of view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's already like doing that. Like, you're like, what's that have to do with 3D? It's doing gimmicky stuff like the whole time.
That's what Friday the 13th movies are, is gimmicky stuff the whole time.
Yeah.
Shitty acting, lots of tits, and high body count.
Right, and then speaking of that, they keep showing hard nipples a lot.
Yeah,
and then
it's cold out
it
there
is,
by the lake.
It is very, very effective because
it's very effective.
If the movie lacks,
my dick was super rock hard.
We were in suspense because the suspense is generated by, am I going to see her tits? That's the suspense.
That is. Every Friday the 13th movie, you're like, "Ooh, she's pretty hot. I wonder if it's her that's going to show her tits."
Right.
And then it's always like, will she, won't she? And then she does that thing where she takes it off and she teases, but then she turns back and you're like, damn, I'm not going to see it. And then in the next scene, it's like, boom, there they are.
It's like, you guys remember that movie, Ghost in the Machine?
Wait, from the 90s?
Yeah. Where she's like, the babysitter's doing like a strip tease for the two kids.
What?
Oh my God. So have you seen this movie?
No.
Holy fuck, dude. So it was sort of in the inception of VR in the mid 90s when like VR was like a thing and like Lawnmower Man had come out.
I'm gonna have to look up this like scene.
That's a good movie. And there was this guy who died and he infected computers basically. And he'd go around like,
he's a ghost in the machine.
He's a ghost in the machine. He would like turn on like dishwashers and turn the temperature up. But like one of the scenes was the
terrifying
dishwasher hot water, the worst. But one of the scenes was this girl was babysitting these two younger kids, and they basically, I think they pay her $100 to do a striptease, and she just shows them her bra, which was like super disappointing as a child, but you know, still something. You've not seen Ghost in the Machine?
No.
Oh my God.
I want to find this scene where the babysitter is stripping for the kids. That sounds really fucked up.
It is fucked up.
There's a guy named Tommy Guns who has a song called Ghost in the Machine.
The Police have an album called Ghost in the Machine.
They do. Anything else, dude?
I think I'm missing something, but I can't remember. So, no.
Cool.
Part two is not. Yeah, I wasn't into part. I'm glad they got that hockey mask going in part three. I really am. That fucking bag over the head. Also, Jason acts uncharacteristically not Jason like. He's just not there yet in part two. I'm sorry.
He's really just not taking it there.
Oh my God, dude. He gets fucking kneed in the groin, dude. Like she's hiding behind a bush.
Speaking of,
both of the Voorhees have very weak groins. The mom gets kneed.
He's packing. Wait,
okay,
heat,
so
man.
You haven't been part of this conversation.
What?
Okay, we saw Halloween together. Yeah. No, we didn't see Halloween together, but we saw Halloween as a collective group.
Yeah, apart. Okay, yeah.
That head stomp that Michael Myers does.
Fucking bad.
Do you think that it is humanly possible?
No.
For someone to do that?
No.
He's not unless you have one. His glasses are thicker than yours.
It's not.
We're not talking.
People would do it more often.
We're not
for
talking
one.
A normal human. We're not talking a normal human. He's not a normal human. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but in the movie, he's supposed to be. He's not supernatural anymore. So, like,
it's like by the end of it, they slowly introduce
we were arguing this, and strength. They kept trying to say that you could do it, and then they started bringing up curb stomps, and they're like, well, why wouldn't they crush their head there? And Ollie is like, well, you don't want to crush their head. You just want to kill them. I'm like, if you're going to kill somebody.
I wasn't talking about a curb stomp. I was talking about somebody bodily smashing somebody's head
with one foot with one stomp, and we're sitting there, we're like looking up how much force it takes to crush a human skull and how much force like the human foot can exert, like even just when running and all this other stuff. And we had this like long drawn out argument in the middle of the Amigo the Devil show about whether one normal ish person, you know, they'd have to be like 6'8", like
not
Myers,
have to be big.
Yeah.
So so we looked it up.
Like the mountain and shit.
That's what I was saying.
The mountain.
I was thinking somebody who's like 6'8", 6'9", somewhere in there.
Or someone who's just psychotically fucking strong. Because psychotic people do have it. Like,
but that's
I'm
the
not
thing,
kidding.
Is like, we're talking in one stomp, completely crush it.
I gotta go to the scene itself. We hear a crush, and then we see his face later. I see some blood out of the head. I don't see a whole crush.
It definitely went.
He smashed it like a pumpkin.
Debris that there's fly
pulp
out
and shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
My thought was this.
It's just badass.
We looked it up. It's like 550 pounds of pressure to crush a human skull.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And
the human foot, like when running, can exert like something like 700 pounds of pressure.
Yeah, if he's doing leg presses, you know, every day in that fucking institution, he's got this.
He's not. He's just standing there.
Well, I mean, that's what you think, but they're not going to leave him out in the open.
You don't
want to
see Michael Myers doing leg presses all day?
I mean, that'd be pretty funny.
That would be fucking great.
Just doing pull-ups.
Halloween 2,
he's
the workout
ring. He's super fucking fit, dude.
I would think so.
The circuit.
He just starts sending Lori pictures post-workout.
He's in your guys' thread. He's like, hey, bro.
Lori's like, nope, fam.
Checking it out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible.
We're going to find out. We're going to get a pig skull.
It's definitely a stretch.
And we're going to get somebody strong. I think we could get that Mark Aces dude, and I think he could do it.
I don't think he can.
I think you could do
it. It's a stretch, but
honestly,
I'll allow it for the badass.
Tom didn't even think he could do it. He was like, no, man, like I figure like your foot would slip off one side. And George starts introducing all these caveats. He's like, well, if you had like a combat boot and you had a steel-toed one where it's got the steel reinforced
you're going to get some resistance and shit.
The only reason why is because he has combat boots on or mechanics boots. One of the two.
They would be mechanics boots.
Okay, and then the argument stands that they will either be steel-toed or steel-soled.
The argument stands.
My argument stands.
Yeah.
I think a human could do it.
Not in one
state.
Anybody out there listening, if you've stomped a human head, no judgment. If you've done it, let us know.
Yeah, he's like, these guys, like these poor fucks.
Or if you
no
decide
clue
to do it, let Film us know it. How it goes. Yeah.
Maybe there's some angle where it's extremely crackable, you know?
Well, because he stepped on the face.
He did. He stepped on like the front.
Like, it was like this. So like, yeah, that's harder. It's like a Sweet Tarts wrapper.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. Remind me of like Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Oh, yeah. Such a good film.
Right? I love that Zoller guy, that new director. He did fucking
Bone
Tomahawk.
That wasn't just one stomp, was it? That was like a few.
Yeah, but that was still exaggerated. I mean, that was just that. Yeah.
That's fucking badass.
Yeah,
that was.
I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. It's a little elevated realism, like Halloween is too. So, you know, as long as he's not, you know, if he started getting hit by fucking cars and all sorts of shit and crazy shit.
He did get hit by a car.
Oh, yeah, never mind. If he started getting hit by cars more than...
Then 2018 Halloween Michael Myers is not a regular human.
He's not supernatural.
Not supernatural, but he's not a regular, like, off the street. Like,
maybe
I get hit by a car, I'm dead.
Maybe he's not the fucking Terminator, but he's not a regular dude.
He just found some meth, and he just doesn't feel the pain yet.
Yeah. Totally plausible.
Tom on some meth?
The doctor gave him some wet. And
speaking
he's
of which,
like,
you know, maybe perhaps he doesn't have that neurotransmitter. They even call, you know what they call the pain neurotransmitter? This is fucking really sophisticated. Substance P. Do you know what P stands
for? What it's called?
Yeah, it's
now
fucking lame.
Now we're
dude.
A science podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
No, what's it stand for?
Pain.
Substance pain?
They're fucking, it's really scientific, dude, when they make these names
substance
up.
Substance P.
Point at something, name it. Science. I'm just saying.
Substance P.
I'm not even making that shit up.
I'm going to go home and get my wife some substance P.
I'm going to try.
However, later on when he got his hand fucked up, he's like, ugh. So he felt that shit.
Yeah. He didn't. He had the substance P.
He had the.
So we went to Universal Studios last weekend.
That was super fun.
It was super fun.
All the waiting in line, smelling of doo doo.
Next year, VIP passes.
Yeah,
for sure.
Waiting in line is fucking
because
overrated.
Fuck all that. I think we waited 4 hours in line,
dude. At least each one was like at least an hour, somewhere an hour and a half.
Wow.
That Poltergeist line was fucking long.
Dude, you were pissed.
Yeah,
I could feel the anger coming off of you in that line, dude.
My legs were hurting, man. I was like, my knees were all sore. I just wanted to sit down. It smelled like fucking dog shit everywhere.
Damn.
It was like a sewer right under us. It fucking reeked. We kept being like, who farted? And nobody thought it was funny because everybody was smelling the same shit.
Yeah, we were all mired in bullshit.
Yeah.
So we went into the Walking Dead haunt, which was fun. And then we did Trick or Treat, which was also fun.
And then we did
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist,
which was fun but long ass line.
And then we did Halloween 4,
which was really good.
Yeah,
that was the best one.
It was like hiding behind George, and Ollie is like hiding behind me.
Well, that's
and
familiar
like,
for you.
What?
Hiding behind George?
Hey, you don't got to mention that.
Bro. Yeah. Does he do that too,
dude? So this one time, in fact, in high school. One of the, I think it might have been the first time I ever went out.
It was Frightmare on Market Street.
It was like, yeah, it was the first time I ever like went out late. I got back home at 3 a.m. My mom was like super pissed at me. She was like,
"Oh yeah, you had very strict upbringing.
You don't respect your home." And I was like, "God, what do you what, mom?" Yeah, it was very he knows it was very strict. But like that night was crazy because it was the first night that I was like, you know what. I'm not coming back home.
Fuck you, mom.
Fuck you, mom.
I'm going to get fucking wild and go to a fucking haunted house.
Go to a haunted house.
Sober.
Completely sober, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, you're right, though. What happened there?
You were cowering.
Yeah, I wasn't very good with shit popping out at
me. I don't like it. I don't like being startled.
I looked down and pushed everyone in front of me.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. I think I do better now.
I walk in and there's loud-ass techno and dudes running around, like, jumping in your face with chainsaws. I'm like, this is my literal fucking nightmare. This is everything I hate about
it. It was like
everything.
The beginning of fucking Hellfest.
Just my central nervous system does not have any prep time, so I'm like, like, I can't fucking do it, man.
Those people gotta love Alia. Like, they all wanted to fuck with her because they see, like, this innocent looking girl who's never paying attention to anything around her, just like in her own fucking world. They can walk right beside her for like a good 30 seconds before she even realizes they're there, and then she always screams.
Yeah, we had there was a couple times when we were like, oh my god, Aria, look over there, and she's like, ah.
Yeah,
wow,
that was pretty great.
It was fun though. It was good. I think it was well worth it. And the homie Hans,
yeah,
he was there.
Yeah, Hans came down and hung out. I got him some shitty chilaquiles. I feel really bad.
It sounds like it was pretty packed.
Super. Well, I mean, it's Halloween weekend, so, you know, it was bound to be a bit crowded.
Yeah.
Expensive AF.
Right.
Next year, earlier in the month.
VIP passes.
VIP passes. That's what we're doing.
Well, I hope, I'd like, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. No, I was very busy on...
You guys had like a party, right?
We had a Halloween party, and then there's a shitload of activity in my occupation during this time of year.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just like there is across the board, like anywhere. Yeah. People like getting fucked up during the holidays, right? So here it goes. People get stirred up, man. Like, and that goes with that winter thing and everything. They start thinking about what they don't have, the family that's not in touch with them. It's all sorts of stuff. And then they get the pressures of, you know, I mean, it depending how connected they are to their family, and if they have children and they're not there to support the children, if they have to pay child support, all that good stuff.
That's sad.
The parties they're missing. Like, you got to get over
not
all
being
that.
Able to go trick or treating and shit like that.
Not being able to go trick or treating.
Fuck.
No, but
I mean, with their kids, obviously.
No, for sure.
Well, I don't mean them specifically.
Sure. Well, and also, I mean, this is, you know, it's a party. Like, everyone has a Halloween party. Well, not you. And if this is their first time, or if this is hard for them to process, you get what I mean? That's when the shit gets real.
God.
So, the holidays. People are like, what is he talking
about?
Come
to fuck everyone up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I should provide context or whatever. Yeah.
I don't think you need to provide context. I think it's been well established.
Okay.
Yeah.
Established.
We good, dude.
We good.
Should we take a little break?
Sure.
Come back and talk about the Poughkeepsie tapes.
Poughkeepsie.
Long awaited Poughkeepsie tapes. Mm-hmm. All right, dummies. We'll be right back. And
much demanded.
Much demanded by James Thompson. Ugh. We'll be right back. Hella tight.
I'm not gonna fit into it after.
I was gonna ask for one, but then I was like, I'm gonna be some poser ass, marker ass bitch.
You don't even know Lagwagon.
I don't even like Lagwagon. I know Lagwagon. I don't like Lagwagon.
I fucking love Lagwagon. And Newfound Glory.
What do you think about Lagwagon, dude? Punk band, dude. Lagwagon. They're called Lagwagon, but they don't lag. They go really fast.
Fucking pick it up, though.
Pick it up, wagon. Stupid.
Oh, man. You think it's like a play on REO Speedwagon?
REO Speedwagon versus Lagwagon.
REO Lagwagon.
Wow. REO Lagwagon. It's a cover band where they only do Lagwagon and REO Speedwagon songs.
That'd be great.
That would be
it's pretty niche.
Me and you, we're going to start a band.
Well, he can start a band with us too.
Wait, George drums? George drums? No, George can't be in the band.
Arguably, I don't drum, though. If anyone's going to be a drummer.
You were in Drumline? Right. Okay, you could be in the band.
you could do some splits on the bass drums and
everything.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. That's the only thing.
No.
No, I'll stick to vocals, thank you.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
I farted.
Also, we're back.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, buddy.
What's up with the Patreon, my dude?
Patreon.com is hella tight. Patreon.com is how...
is hella tight.
Is how you awesome folks help us awesome folks continue to do this awesome show. By going to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, you can help us out with a small monthly donation and you get bonus episodes, exclusive content, exclusive merchandise, and you get to pick the movies sometimes. Kind of like tonight, but not like tonight at all.
This is a weird night.
Yeah, this is a weird night, but every night's a fun night on patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. So go there and become one of our homies. Homie.
Oh, this Halloween was fun. I dressed up like Silent Bob.
Yeah, you did. I've been telling you you should be Kevin Smith for years.
Well, I mean, you can't just be Kevin Smith.
Sure you can.
Fat bearded guy?
Yeah.
No, it had to
be. You just need a hockey jersey. And they're like, ah, Kevin Smith, right? You're like, no, I'm going to a game.
Dude, I saw something he posted. He is just 5 pounds over his weight when he filmed Dogma.
Yeah, he looks scary as fuck right now.
Wow.
His face looks a little bit
malnourished.
Well, emaciated. He's losing a ton of weight, so good for him, but like,
is it crystal meth? What is he doing? Did he get like that gastric bypass?
No, he quit sugar, I think.
Quit sugar?
Yeah. Not
yeah, me
unlike
too.
You.
I just ate more sugar like right now than I have all year.
So he quit sugar. Is he exercising?
Yeah.
He's, oh, that would
doesn't
good.
Look yeah. like it. Yeah. Like he's like
I haven't seen any recent photos.
He looks good. He's
oh, yeah?
He's got that well. He's got that thing when like a real overweight person
skin.
Loses weight quickly.
His skin just doesn't have the same like elasticity as it used to, so it's like he looks a little gaunt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is post break. Mm-hmm. That's pre-break stuff. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this shit.
Yeah, so hold on, let me pull up this movie right quick. Patreon, by way of a force of a Sam pick, we watched the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Yeah.
Poughkeepsie.
I don't even like the... I don't want to say the name.
Hold on 1 second. Oh, let me get to this IMDb page.
Do you guys ever open up these Starbursts and wish for a double yellow?
Double reds, dude, always. What are you talking
double
about?
Yellow.
Double yellow. Are you a serial
Nobody
killer,
Nobody fucking wants double
Who
yellow.
Wants double yellow? Yellows
are the best. I used to hate them, and now they're my favorite ones.
You're on a fucking list somewhere, aren't you?
I actually think they should discontinue the yellow.
Yeah.
They should all together. Discontinue these nasty-ass orange ones.
2007, The Poughkeepsie Tapes, directed by John Eric Dowdle. Written by Drew Dowdle and John Eric Dowdle. Starring Stacy Chobsky, Ben Mesmer, Samantha Robson, Ivar Brogar, Lou George, Amy Linden, Michael Lawson, Ron Harper, Kim Kenny, and a bunch of other fucking people. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of the Poughkeepsie Tapes?
I've seen this movie 3 times in the last, like, 4 days, and I still can't remember any of it. Dude, I don't know. It feels like it's trying to be edgy, but it's like obnoxious instead. It feels like an episode of like Forensic Files mixed with like some drama geek sex tape. And I don't know. It exists. It's not very good. It's not really bad either. It's just kind of there.
Hmm.
What about you?
It's fucking bad. I was not a fan. I had a very tough time. You were mentioning earlier you got to watch movies and get what you can.
Right? Yeah.
Chunks.
I had to watch this in 20-minute chunks. And it was rough. It was fucking rough. Like, I could watch, 2001 twice in a row, right? So it's not an attention span thing. This movie...
it's only 87 minutes.
Yeah, it's an hour and 20 minutes. And I was fucking kept checking the time. I'm like, oh, is it almost, oh my God.
It's only been 5 minutes.
Wow. Wow. I didn't like this movie.
Same. I mean, it's a little bit of a try hard movie.
Mm-hmm.
One
of the more try-hard movies maybe I've ever seen. Maybe. I mean, I sound like a dick, but maybe.
You can sound like a dick all you want.
Okay.
You're at home.
Okay.
Here. I can't say that I hated it.
I just didn't care for it.
I can't say that I liked it. I'm just real
You can't say you hated it?
I can't. I
fucking hated it.
Dude,
I like Dark Web, that second Dark Web or that Unfriended movie better.
We sat through, what was the other one that we watched?
Which one?
The other one that was
Resurrected?
No. The other one that was kind of like this where it was
August Underground?
August Underground.
That one was arguably much better.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. We sat through August Underground, which is kind of similar where it's a bunch of tapes of
But it doesn't have the documentary stuff interspliced. It's just basically found tapes of these people going around killing and torturing people. Mm-hmm. But it's shittier video quality. It's lower budget, lower effects, and it's arguably a much better movie.
You think this movie's lower budget than...
No.
You're saying the other one.
Oh, August Underground is significantly more effective regardless. Yeah, I know. August Underground is much lower budget.
Yeah, I think August Underground is more effective at what it's trying to evoke in terms of the uneasiness and sort of the gross out factor. I think ultimately what where this movie stumbles is first of all that documentary wrapper is almost unwatchable.
Well, and then are we meant to believe that they are editing, the people who made the documentary are editing in parts of the killer's tapes? Or, did the killer edit them into his own version of the documentary? And whose smart-ass idea was it to put the loud-ass between every transition?
Oh, my God,
we were, dude. When George first watched it, it was in the car on the way back from Universal. And those transitions were, four times louder than everything else.
Yeah.
And, every 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay, when you guys talk about the documentary thing, the interviews they have with this, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just where people are talking, pretending this is real. at no time during that thing was I obviously I knew, it's not, right? So it's it doesn't happen, but they all talk the same.
Yeah.
Because the dialogue is written by the same person and they don't know how to write dialogue for different people. And that, I mean, all of it sounds rehearsed. And I mean, at no time did any of it. Every time it went to fucking look, man. I mean, the movie's comprised of stuff from the videotapes, which sucks, and stuff from the interviews, which suck. So I can think of no good part of this movie because the interviews suck and the videotapes suck.
Yeah.
When he was fucking had the mask on and he's like, "Say it."
Dude, it felt like a drama geek in his S&M sex tape with his girlfriend.
Yeah. It felt like fucking Spinal Tap. If it was supposed to be funny, but then it didn't do that either.
So to explain the film a little bit, because we probably should do some of that. Somebody finds these tapes in a secret crawl space, right?
Yeah.
In a house.
The cops are looking for this dude, and then they find the house, and then they find a bunch of the tapes there of him murdering.
And it's people. Thousands of tapes, right?
Yeah. Hundreds at least, yeah.
Yeah, premise-wise, I mean, you could do whatever you wanted with that premise. I don't have a problem with that, sure. Yeah. So there's this, and they go on to say there's more serial killers than people realize.
Yeah, there's like 55 active at any given time.
Which I think that number is a little inflated.
It's but I mean, it's pretty close to an actual statistic.
Isn't it 7? I always thought it was 7 was the number.
I thought it was in the 20s.
Okay, maybe, well, then we're wildly inaccurate facts show today.
That's right.
We're always a wildly inaccurate fact show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess, too, given that it was made in 2007, it kind of anticipated a few, like, structure-wise, like, doing this mock investigative journalism type thing. I mean, like, the most convincing parts to me were when they'd show, like, those info things, you know? Like, it would have the gas station chart. Like, they'd have these maps, and they'd show what gas stations they charted to track the guy's movement and all that. That started to get a little...
This was secluded off the freeway.
Right.
The gas station was abandoned. I bet you he knew that, too.
It started to get a little, like, immersive to me in those... I mean, compared to the other parts. Because it was like, well... They made some graphs here, and
somebody spent time doing.
Well, it started feeling a little bit like a procedural, like an actual procedural type thing, a little bit, you know. So I think it anticipated a few things, perhaps.
So
everything with the video camera, like, I don't know if he just had the shittiest video camera ever.
With the waves, the wavy images.
Yeah, well, it was all grainy.
I mean, I think
supposed to be videotape.
It's supposed to be like VHS tapes, probably.
Right.
Sure.
And. Well, not even VHS tapes because they were pretty small, so maybe like VHS-C or whatever the fuck. But those tapes have been there for a good bit, right? Seemingly?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they were really shitty quality. Like, I have old tapes from like 2003 from like my old band shows, and they don't look anywhere near that shitty.
Yeah, the timeline is really fucky because you come to find out at the end that they rescue the girl who's in the tapes, but the last tapes that you see of her are still shitty as hell.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And then like the camera that they're using to film them it's weird. It's a weird movie.
And they talk about how like a lot of the tapes are what he did to this one specific girl, but they show almost none of it. They focus on like a bunch of other shit, like more about how he's smart as a killer and the other people he kills, where you never really actually see him do most of this stuff because, like, the camera's always slightly off frame, you know, so you don't see the person he's killing or, like, it's so great. Like, that scene where he's got that girl tied up and he's, like, hitting her, it's like the screen goes dark every time he, like, swings to hit her.
Yeah. Which is
well, yeah. I mean, so
it's like you're trying to be like really intimidating and really like unsettling, but you're doing all this stuff like
you're pulling
off camera.
Punches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Here's the biggest problem is that it's simultaneously like too in your face, but also it doesn't actually like get there. It doesn't ever like show you like. I think personally, I think like the found footage stuff is kind of tame. Like there really isn't anything there where I'm like, oh man, like fucking, this is shit.
Well, there's nothing in the vibe or atmosphere outside of it, like you're saying, that's unsettling or sets an atmosphere. Like fucking, do you guys remember Session 9?
Yeah.
Where they're just listening to a tape?
Yeah.
Shit's fucking creepy, dude.
Well, I think with this, they're just hoping that they can put some weird imagery and it'll creep you out. Like,
sure.
The fact that he's got the plague doctor mask, people find that mask really fucking creepy for some reason. Or he puts that mannequin kind of face on the girl.
And you know what's interesting is this is one of the few times that I have identified with you in particular. Because you always talk about, like, you want, like, with this sort of thing... for it to feel like something you're not supposed to be watching.
Right.
In case of like August Underground, where, we know we're watching a fake thing, but there's somewhere in, you know, in your brain where you're like, well, this is...
the line of reality.
I go, this, you know, you feel dirty watching it a little bit, but this feels almost sanitized.
Yeah.
With how like comfortable everything is, like, okay, like we've got a bondage scene now, like, okay, what, say my name, what's my or, you know, what, you know, call, you know, what are you, who are you, what's your, like, it's like, come on, man.
It didn't. So one of the main reasons
that's James, my fucking Saturday night, my dude,
one of the main reasons James wanted us to do this was because he wanted to know what Alia thought of it, because he said like it tends to have this effect on women where it's like it's so steeped in reality, or it's so possible that like it tends to really freak them out. And He wanted to know what Alia thought. Well, I mean, Alia didn't want to watch this at all.
Yeah.
She like turned away from the TV. She put her headphones in and she was just on her phone for an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I can get it because like, why subject yourself as a woman to this on purpose?
Well, especially if it's not even good.
Yeah. At least be good.
I mean, like Irreversible, like she's watched that a few times and that's like a really hard movie to watch as a woman.
But it's artful. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, it's fucking...
Well, it's well done.
It's virtuosic how you fucking... Well, and how this camera moves and all that crazy shit. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
And we talk a little bit about it on Dogs of... Hounds of Love. Sorry, not Dogs of Love. Where, you know, that's a pretty unsettling movie as a woman, I think.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anything too extreme in that film, but my God, like, you have that sense of dread. Here,
that's a movie where you can do the stuff off camera and what your brain pictures is worse than what they could show you. But in this one,
the subject matter is trashy here and it's unearned and it's not well executed.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's unearned as hell.
Yeah.
Well, it's like with the
not trying to say anything else about it, you know,
that scene where they're talking not that it has about to, like,
but it's not good
his
either.
First kill was like the most innocent. It was that little girl. And it's like, okay, well, did he walk up with a fucking hammer? Did he get a rock? Like, did he take the body with him? Like, all of this stuff, it's just like, you can't see the little girl on the camera anymore. And then you get the impression that he kills her somehow.
I got the impression from that scene that was a failed
attempt.
A failed attempt, which I thought would have been.
No, I thought that, I think he actually murdered that little girl.
That's what I mean. No, like, my initial read on that scene was that, like, he did something, he scared her, and he had to run back to his car, like a failed, like the mom came out or something like that, which I thought would have been a little bit more of a neat characterization instead of him going in killing little girls on his first outing. Like, come on, man. Like, there's no, not to say that this movie needed like character development for this fucking guy, but at least some sense of growth to him in terms of
process. Well, that's why they kept having to justify why how all over the place it was. What killers usually don't do is change their MO. He changed his MO. So because they ran out of ideas, so they want to just keep doing different shit. That's why they're saying that. And then fucking, there's like stuff where, you remember the part where he's putting the rag on the chick's mouth to get her to pass out?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the camera in front of her face.
He's like, oh, he had to have practiced this so much.
The guy's like, yeah, all these info drops, like, it's so bad. He's all, can you imagine what it would take to do that? Because he's holding the camera in front of her face while he's holding the rag over her face. He would have had to practice this thoroughly. Really? He says thoroughly because he doesn't know how to say thoroughly. And
it doesn't seem all that hard.
No.
It seems like if you've ever taken a selfie with
somebody.
It's
a fucking selfie. Yeah. He took a selfie. Like, dude, it was not. That's what that was bad, dude.
And I'm sorry. I think
were selfies a thing in 2007?
Not quite. Well, they were getting there. Not quite, because we had the flip phones going on. I think 2009 is when it hit full speed with
front facing cameras
with touch, you know,
touch screens,
touch screens, next generation technology.
That I think too, like that scene that you if you YouTube, if you look for this movie on YouTube and you see that scene where he's walking on all fours and he's walking up to the girl with the taper in her mouth, like that's supposed to be like the scene. Like the most horrific scene in this whole
thing. And it really is.
And it is.
But like they give it away in the trailer.
And not only that, but it's really, I mean,
it's not indicative of the rest of the movie either. You're like, oh man, this is going to be really creepy. And like there's going to be a whole bunch of unnatural, unsettling body movement type things. And it's like, no, it's a fucking procedural. Like you said, it's like the first 48.
Yeah.
Any one of those A&E shows. And then like, the detective fucking talks to Ted Bundy at some point, and Ted Bundy's like, oh yeah, he fucks the corpses. That's how you're going to catch him. Wait to see where he drops him because he's going to come back and fuck it again. And it's like, that's really weird to just put that you're talking to Ted Bundy about another serial killer.
Yeah.
This whole movie is just full of weird choices of like why they did the things they did.
Like trying to fill an hour and 20 minutes.
And it's long. It feels long. I mean,
they were stretching.
They
were stretching it. They were really couldn't. I don't think. Yeah, I don't think they had enough to.
One more candy for you, Crunchy.
I'm leaning away from the mic.
God bless. Yeah, you crunching from over here.
Is it picking up?
Yeah, of course it is.
Aha.
Well, it's the day after Halloween, man.
I'm in the spirit.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah, you sure are.
It's a fucking Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who, which member of the Patreon recommended this film?
So, James Thompson has been trying to get us to watch this for a while.
Why, James?
Over a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, James, I don't know you, dude, and I'm relatively new to this, but I don't know if you were just curious or what, man. No. It's not good.
I don't think that he necessarily thinks this is a good film.
He probably wanted to see, he was curious to see what you guys yeah. thought, what we thought.
I mean, we've had, when we were forced to watch, Little Turk gave it to us.
A Serbian film.
You keep mentioning that one.
That was another one of those. We're going into it. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to watch this movie. Like, I think it's going to be. But after watching it, I was like, well, that wasn't really all that. Like, I mean, yeah, there was a baby fucking scene, but like,
it's got two incredibly shocking scenes for shock value's sake. Like, that's it.
Right. Well, this has. But none. Otherwise,
it's this. A this. Yeah. I mean, by comparison, like, this is basically like a trailer for Unfriended.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, God, man, I just,
It's just the cops telling how fucking smart this killer is and he keeps escaping. He's smart. Like, I don't get the whole subplot about him framing this other cop, like, for the murder and getting him executed through the justice. Why was he killing this cop? Just because? Was this cop, like, getting too close to him or something?
Multiverse.
That's
right.
That makes all the sense.
The Cloverfield monster was going to stomp him, and then he needed to find an excuse.
That would have been cool.
All the sense. And then 9/11. And thanks, then Obama.
And then Nazi zombies showed up.
Did you read too? I guess this was made in 2007.
Yeah.
And then it had distribution troubles.
Yeah, it's really.
And not MGM just was like, we're not going to put that out in theaters. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really weird. So they put it out on VOD, but exclusively on DirecTV.
Yep.
And then it was just gone for the longest time. And then it was back on DirecTV. And they released the Blu-ray.
Arrow released it in like 2014.
Yeah, and Arrow mainly does physical media, right? They don't do a lot of streaming. Because you can't find this thing anywhere just straight up streaming.
No, it wasn't even on Amazon.
Yeah, you have to buy it. You have to buy the physical disc.
It's Arrow. I just heard about them too, like the last couple weeks for other re-releases and stuff. Are they predominantly horror films?
I don't know about predominantly, but they do a shitload.
They do a lot.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
It might be.
It's not a good film.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd seen it before, and I forgot like everything except for that one scene with the, the creepy crawling.
The needle poke.
Oh yeah, the needles. I already forgot there was needles.
The needles. Yeah, and then that final scene with the girl who, you know, after she's been rescued, she's, you know, missing an arm, whatnot.
Yeah, dude, I laughed so hard when I saw that.
Good, man. Yeah, there you go.
And I looked it up, and they're like, oh, they did it with a glove and a green screen. And I'm like, that's fucking great.
Yeah, no shit. We could tell.
She scratches her head with a stump. I'm like, oh, man. Because they're talking about how, like, I've never seen anybody who's been tortured like this in the U.S. and implying that he's seen people tortured that bad in other countries.
Right.
Of course.
But it's like she was burned. She had teeth missing. She had things put inside her. They don't mention the hand missing until she like rubs her fucking stump on her forehead. But.
And then she still calls him.
Yeah. She's like, I still love him. Like he loves me. He's the master. I don't know what you want me to say. And it's like, I don't know if the terror is supposed to be in like the idea that you can be conditioned like that people are actually moldable to, you know, to
an extreme case of Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. And then like at the end, after the credits, you realize like, oh, he's still around. And it's like this extra like, ridiculous scene where it's like, I'll let you stay alive as long as you don't blink. And so the girl starts hyperventilating and not blinking for 20 seconds and then she fucking dies. I would just fucking blink like right away. I'd be like, well, fuck dog. I'm not going to draw this out another 20 seconds. Come get some. Just start batting my lashes at him.
Because you're not going to get more than 20, 30 seconds. Yeah.
And it's like 20, 30 seconds spent in terror. It's like, just fucking kill me.
Just close your eyes.
Little bits. Yeah. If I can't see you, I'm not going to
kill you. And you know, the kind of the bummer of it is that this was sort of in the beginning of the real boom of found footage.
Like it was kind of in the torture. It was like the border between torture porn and found footage.
Huh.
Because we had, so we had, I mean, obviously we had Blair Witch when, 99, and that was sort of like the kickoff of, of found footage stuff. And it kind of came and went, and I think like 2007, 2009 is really when things started picking up for found footage. So I don't want to, I hate to be too hard on this movie because it was trying to do something unique for the time, but watching it with 2018 eyes, it just doesn't, it doesn't hold water. Like none of it is very good, you know, and we've already dealt with it. Like we've already said that, like the documentary,
seen better,
the documentary part sucks,
are
the,
fucking laughable, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, the look in the eyes of the actors, like, you know, like it's
just dead.
Well, it's just not believable at all. Well, like Blair Witch, actually, you know, when it, obviously we were in high school.
Yeah.
There are parts of that, and I know someone out there's going to be like, oh, that movie sucked. It was all hype, blah, 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 blah. There are parts of it that feel much more naturalistic than this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Well,
much more naturalistic.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, the Blair Witch had the, had
it's not interviews.
Had the benefit of being pre-internet, basically.
Sure.
When we watched Blair Witch, like, when we talked about this.
I mean, even aside from that, though, it just feels like, it feels like you're listening to people talk.
There's something real.
Occasionally, it feels like it feels like you're hearing people talk on the spot, because you are. They were kind of improvising within a framework.
Yeah,
like this one, it's like they're reading lines because they, I think they are.
You know, what's also laughable was at the end where the cop's like, "Oh, you know how we're gonna find him? If your little documentary here makes it in the theaters, he's not gonna be able to help himself. He's gonna see it a bunch of times. We're gonna be staking out all the screenings." It's like, most major releases get like 1,000 screens. You're going to be at like thousands of theaters every day.
Well, not this movie.
For every showing. Yeah, this one didn't get released at all. MGM was just like, fuck. We just got to eat it on this one.
It's a trip. Still seeing the logo at the beginning of the movie, though. You know?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
What do we do with this retard stepchild?
Shelf it.
Shelf it for 10 years. Release it on Blu-ray when none of these idiots care anymore.
Some asshole will pay us to release it later. We won't have to put any more money into this piece of garbage.
Do either of you guys find the, I mean, it's kind of inconsequential, like with grander scheme of stuff, but its rating on IMDb is 6.1. You find that?
IMDb is dumb and people are sheep.
Well, it's bros.
6.1, yeah.
6.1 is pretty fucking high.
It's too high for what this is.
I think it's way fucking high.
It needs to be like a 3.2.
Well, no, I mean, I look at IMDb's top 50, and I'm like, all right, cool. Cool people.
I don't know. I kind of have a problem with a lot of their top 50.
Let's call them top 50. No, okay, we got to do that right
Tomato
now.
Tomatometer is 50%.
50% on that, but that's 50% of the audience score.
Yeah.
They have no critic score because enough.
Because
no critics bothered seeing it.
Yeah. This scored on fucking Rotten Tomatoes as well as fucking Halloween for you last week, dude.
Hold on, motherfucker. Halloween has 75% audience
score. What I'm saying is you said three out of five for Halloween.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, like that's the average. That's the average rating
on their audience score.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, people are nuts.
How is that possible?
People are fucking nuts.
People have really bad taste.
I'm sorry.
If you have really bad taste, go to patreon.com/whoGoesTherePodcast.
Wait a minute. Speaking of which, you know, because it's all a matter of opinion, right?
Yeah.
It's like, so is that. Like, that's also a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
That's what that fucking means. But also, it means. Right? So it's like, you can't fucking have it both ways. But then, also some opinions, not all opinions are fucking created equal. Like if I give my opinion to the auto mechanic about the car and I don't know shit about cars, well, my opinion is not informed.
Are you implying that we know about cinema or that they
don't? I'm saying that our opinions are correct. Yeah. About this, because we agree on this one.
See, you're starting to figure out how this show works.
Okay, good. It's
our
arbitrary.
Our opinions are always correct.
I get it. What happens when we disagree, though?
Then that
it's okay.
The defaults to whatever I'm saying.
Oh,
is that right?
Because you're the who? I'm wait a minute.
Yeah, what's that?
Who started this?
I did.
We did.
We did.
See, I knew that was going to be one guy says I, another says we. I knew it was going to.
Nah, it's usually both of us are saying I did.
The origin story is
listeners, just let them have this out.
The origin story it was a baseball game. We were sitting at a baseball game.
That's like when it officially started, but we'd talked about, because I wanted to start a podcast with Mikey because I started watching, I just wanted to start a podcast, period, because I started watching Comic Book Men, and Mikey didn't want to do it because he's like, what are we going to talk about? And then I was hanging out with George a lot, and we were talking about horror movies, and one of us was like, we should just hit record, and if anybody likes it, then
that was you, huh?
Like it.
And probably that was me.
That sounds like
he already had all the gear because he was going to do some other podcast.
I was doing a little pop culture podcast that didn't go anywhere.
Oh, you're implying this has gone somewhere.
It went past the five episodes Christian and Stella thought we
fuck
would do.
You, Christian Stella.
Are you Christian
Stella? Just kidding.
You just being a shithead, dude?
A little bit.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah.
Start your own show then.
Dude, wow. That's not even what I meant. You know, not at all.
Start the Ray Gun podcast.
Wow. That'd be cool.
All right. Well, you got to get out of here. You got
to
go.
I gotta go to a
barbed wire death match.
Yeah.
Come with me?
I'm going to go hang out with the girl, bro.
Red goes, how is that legal, dude?
That's exactly what I said. How is this sanctioned?
Come watch it.
By. I fucking would if it wasn't on the spur of the moment.
It's going to send all the adrenaline straight to your dick, and then you go over to the girl's house.
It's tempting.
Yeah, indeed. you give her that blood boner. That's what it is.
Yeah.
give her that kiss boner.
Oh, dude, I might have to just play it safe tonight, you know?
Get that barbed wire death match?
No, I mean with
you're not going to catch any STDs at a barbed wire death match.
You might.
Just keep your mouth closed.
It's possible. Fucking Hep C.
Crazy Ron might spit in your mouth.
He might. He took Ollie's beer the last time, remember?
I do remember that.
Took it from her and took a huge swig and spit it in the dude's
Ironically,
face.
Crazy Ron is really nice. He's like a cool dude. But he's like this character that he plays
Dirty Ronald McDonald.
Who the fuck is this guy?
He's the guy in the barbed wire death match, Dirty Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, you know.
He does coke off of people's asses. It's wonderful.
Like DiCaprio in,
Oh, obviously, yeah.
I'm sure that's where he got it from.
He's a method actor. Old Crazy Ron.
Have you been to one of these before?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was fun.
He didn't go to the barbed wire death match.
It's just weird because sometimes I'm like too literal, but. It sounds like this is pretty literal.
It's fucking literal. I mean, nobody's going to die, but they're definitely fighting with barbed wire.
Like boxing with barbed wire?
No, like hitting each other with like baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire.
What? You know, I just don't. Are they wearing armor?
No. He's
underwear.
Usually wearing like yellow pants and suspenders like Ronald McDonald.
Dude, okay.
Or like the fucking Japanese, like, fluorescent tube wrestling.
Yeah, dude.
Have you seen this shit, dude?
No.
We gotta go to Mexico for that shit.
No, I don't.
Go to Mexico for that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking
yeah, but
that'd be...
not tonight, though.
We're going to Mexico.
We should have we should do a podcast from Mexico.
Oh, God. No, thanks.
Why not?
All right, let's wrap this motherfucker up. Yeah. That's episode 186.
187
on a motherfucking cop.
Just some nuts and a cock.
Mom, if I had nuts on my chest, would those be chestnuts? That's Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 187. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Suspiria.
Oh,
Suspiria.
Yeah.
Suspiria. The remake.
That's in like 2 days.
That'll be interesting.
3 days.
3 days.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited.
I'll tell you all about the barbed wire death match.
Yes.
I'm excited.
All right, dummies. We'll see you in a few days. Bye.
Hell no, bitch. Then you'd have a dick in your mouth.
See you later.
You should have said, this is Rhett.
This is Rhett.
Can you edit this?
Can you edit
this later and say, this is Rhett?
Sure.
Can you leave it like
I'm
that?
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.